extension for Tim Patrick and a four-year contract extension, you know, for Courtland Sutton. And based on what they've been through in their careers, the ups and downs, and for them to come out of it ahead and where they are today and feel really good just because of what they've been through. They're two of our core players, you know, are important parts of what we're building as a team. And it's a priority for us to reward and secure these type of players.
Being undrafted and starting from the bottom, you literally take levels of your confidence. Like, all right, they want me to play special teams. All right, I got to be the best special team player. Then, all right, you get a couple reps here and there at receiver. All right, then you're starting. It's just, there was just a lot of levels, a lot of patience, and a lot of self-motivation to get where I'm at now. And like I said, I couldn't even dream of something like this, so like I'm very thankful.
Tim said, you know, my main focus was playing ball, you know. How can I get myself right to go out and perform each week? And, you know, I tell my agent and my friend that helps me out a lot, I tell them boys, well, I told them since the beginning, you know, if I take care of what I got to take care of on the field, everything else take care of itself, and I'm a firm believer in that.
There's George Payton first, and then it was Tim Patrick, and then it was Courtland Sutton. Getting both of these wide receivers locked up for the Broncos is both a big deal, but kind of try not to rain on anybody's parade here, but kind of a head scratcher, right? I mean, now you get both guys under market value. Tim Patrick was valued according to SpotTrack at $12 million. You got him for what, $10 million, and there's some incentives there, bonuses. He got a three-year, $30 million contract. And then Sutton signed the four-year, $60.8 million contract, $34.9 million guaranteed, according to his agency. Both were set, of course, to become free agents. But they got it both done. They got both of these deals done. And you got Jerry Jeudy, you got KJ Hamler. So you drafted two wide receivers in a row last year, two years ago, if you want to get there, before the Patrick Surtain year. And then, you know, before that, you'd been working Patrick in. A couple years before that, you drafted Courtland Sutton. So on one end, you're looking at it going, well, how much money are you going to have left to go get a big-time free agent? Or if you do make a trade, well, you're going to absorb that contract. So, but on the other hand, it does scream that George Payton is setting the table. Because what good is having all these wide receivers if it's Teddy or Drew Lock throwing the ball? You got one guy that's proven he's an average quarterback, another guy that's, you know, for 1 year proven that he's below average, and again, more or less unproven. See how I always manage to get that dig in there? Unproven because we've only seen a year. Got to give it more time. But odds are both guys are not the franchise quarterback. I always get scared of the unknown. Now, do you think that this is, do you think George Payton knows something that we don't, that he knows he's going to get a quarterback? Now, I'm not talking about the draft, but he know, and the two names I'm talking about are Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Does he know something that we don't, which he shouldn't, but does he?
I think it's possible. I think if you look at this team right now, you don't know what the playoff situation, you don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out. So you're banking on how can we develop the young guys on this team? How can we get this offensive line figured out? Seem pretty set with your running game. You got your receivers. Throw a quarterback in there and you might have something.
You might have something. Now, they haven't put it together as well as we thought they would defensively, but they've had their moments. 5-5 again. If you're 5-5 and you put a Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers on this roster today, what are you? 7-8?
I think there's two wins in there that you probably get.
So you're 7-3. You're 7-3. That's a pretty significant difference. You're 7-3. You're leading the AFC West right now. And I don't think you're wrong. If anything, you might give them one more because maybe those close game. Maybe you're beating the Steelers. You know. Probably beating the Eagles.
Well, the AFC is so just wild this season.
It's absolutely nuts.
Almost everyone's game.
I mean, what is going on with the Titans? What is happening with the Titans? I know without Derrick Henry, who's their spirit animal, right? But
what's going on with the Bills?
What in the hell is going on with the Bills? I don't know. It's wide open. The Chiefs are kind of figuring it out though. And I said this 3 or 4 weeks ago, didn't I? The Chiefs are going to start their engines and warm this thing up a couple of weeks before they play the Broncos. And by the time they run into the Denver Broncos, they're going to be playing at peak Kansas City Chiefs performance.
Yeah, I agree. And then to go back to answer your question about George Payton looking at quarterbacks, I think he is watching both the situation in Green Bay and the situation in Seattle. And you'd like to think that right now the Seattle situation is working more in your favor if they keep losing and struggling. Maybe Wilson doesn't want to be there with Rodgers. If he ends up going to win the Super Bowl with that team this year, who knows what happens?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what I said at the beginning of the season. It's like, why would Rodgers want to leave a situation where he's closer to getting a ring there than he is with the Broncos? I mean, right now, that's evident. Who's the better team? With or without Rodgers? I mean, just take Rodgers and take him out and put him on one of those teams. Green Bay's better. That's proven. You know, the devil you know. And that's the Broncos are an unknown. And you can tell me Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick are fine players. Are they Devontae Adams fine players? I mean, Rodgers has developed a really nice chemistry in Green Bay.
You'd have to get both of them, right? If they, you know, package deal that whole thing.
I mean, that was the rumor, but there's like, did you sign Patrick and Sutton to package them and send them off to get Adams? I mean, that would be devious, man. He's
playing 4D chess over there.
Oh, if that happens, holy cow.
I will ask, if hypothetical, that's months away, but if Russell Wilson was the pick, would the city accept him?
You know, Russell Wilson?
Granted that they beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl a few years ago?
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson seems to fit I actually think Russell fits more. Like, I'm not, like, values, I don't know. The Broncos want a blue-collar kind of guy. I have always felt like this, and maybe I'm wrong.
Well, he's a leader. He's got that alpha mentality.
Rodgers is a leader, but he's also like, I'm going to go grab a scotch and
Three fingers of scotch,
and then to watch film and do Jeopardy. Who is that? What am I trying to, whose voice is that? No idea.
That's not Aaron.
What the hell was that? Can you impersonate Aaron? I feel like Russell Wilson's more in the Peyton Manning camp, isn't he? Rodgers is more in the, you know, the Joe Namath camp. You know, the sexy, I'm throwing it up, I don't care. I'm calling the coach out and doing all this stuff. Russell Wilson's like, hey, coach, orders. What are they? What are my orders? Manning, of course, barked his own orders, but still, you get where I'm coming from. So, no, I think Wilson would, hell, look at how they accepted Manning. Manning torched Denver in those two playoff runs under Jake Plummer. Just absolutely made us look like children. And as soon as the Broncos had a chance, I mean, before that it was, I can't stand Manning. He's too slow. He takes forever to call a play. And now he's here. It's like, everybody be quiet and let Manning work, please. Okay? All right?
He's the king of the city.
Oh, like, in 4 years, he became the king of the city. Are you watching Monday Night Football with him and Eli?
I haven't been able to just sit down and watch that cast. I've heard a lot
it's
of good
funny.
Things about it.
It's funny, but I find myself not watching football.
Right. I just want to watch the game.
I feel like, and I'm a snob when it comes to this. I don't know if you know this about me, Angel. I hate Super Bowl halftime shows. I don't care if it's my favorite band of all time. I don't like it. Because why? I am in football mode. I'm ready to watch sports. If I go to a concert, I don't want to see a football game break out in the middle of the concert. So I'm snobbish that way. And I feel like I'm the same when I watch Monday Night Football. I don't want to see Saturday Night Live skits or, you know, this is Peyton Manning's couch, you're on it, we're going to have fun and interview. It's hilarious, trust me. They have funny stuff. But it's two different products to me. So I haven't been able to get into it.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree with the Super Bowl take. It's just like, Super Bowl, for me, it never really feels like you're watching the last championship game of the NFL.
No.
It's, oh, you're watching the Super
you're
Bowl.
You're watching
commercials,
a marketing,
party, whatever, you know?
Commercialized bunch of crap. You know, the commercials are.
Because they don't
the
ever
same.
Do like a real halftime show, like sports wise, at the Super Bowl. It's never,
yeah.
Let's sit and talk about the first half, what just happened.
Like, it's all watching halftime. And then you come in with like 3 minutes of here's the half. And then you got, what, 40 minutes in the locker room waiting to come out or however long it is. Yeah, loving the Tool tunes coming out of that break. Double A, yeah, no question, man. Big Tool guy. You like to.
This is your playlist.
Yeah,
I didn't
you're
put
just
this together.
You're just living in it right now, right? That's the thing. I'm a snob when it comes to music. I think I'm just a snob. Is that what this is about?
That might be.
Yeah. I have just a set way of doing things. Eastside Chris, will Angel go to the roof if Bama loses to CSU?
Here's what I'll do. I'll tell you this right
now. You've got it planned.
For this game. I will talk trash in this game.
Yeah.
And I will not hesitate.
Yeah, you absolutely should.
Tell you right now, mark it down, Hulligans. CSU beats Alabama. I will put on a CSU Rams t-shirt and stand on the roof.
And for the entire show?
Sure.
2 hours. Okay.
Can I have, like, you know, snacks and stuff up there?
There's, like, dead pigeons and stuff.
It's going to be cold in December. I'm just thinking about it now. It's going to be cold.
Well, yeah.
Just stand up in 3 feet of snow on the roof.
Which would actually just make it better. And that, this, let's face
I'll build a snowman up there. We'll have friends.
This is an old building. And that roof doesn't have long to live.
I'll just fall right into the studio during the show.
That would be good. That I think the trash talk, when is that game?
It's like December 27th around. I think that's the date.
So we have a while. December 21st. Yeah, and they're, what are they, 10 right now? The top 10?
Yeah, Bama's got a good stretch of games
coming up. How long has Bama been legit in basketball?
Not until recently.
Just recently,
right? I think one of the guys that got us really going was Colin Sexton with the Cleveland Cavaliers now. He really got us going about 4 years ago, and then we got Nate Oates from Buffalo to come in, and he's completely turned this program around. SEC champions last year got to, I think, the Elite Eight in the tournament. But he's got a lot of good team. They're a really good three-point shooting team. So, you know, watch out.
How many teams are like this in basketball where you see that their football team is elite and their basketball team is elite? That's kind of rarefied air, isn't it?
I know, like, Michigan State's one I always go to. Florida's another one. You know, schools that... They're okay at basketball and they're okay at football, and every now and again they get a really good team in there.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm looking at like UCLA and Texas and Baylor. They're supposed to be good at football all the time, right? But they're typically, like recently, but they've got great basketball programs. Those are like taking over. Houston, kind of an okay football program, a pretty good basketball program. Well, and then your buddies, Auburn.
We are not friends.
You got that this weekend too, right?
Let's go.
Yeah.
I tell you, this week in Alabama growing up, it's you will get more trash talk than you've ever gotten, and it's from your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your friends, everyone. If you're on the if you're wearing orange and blue this week, Alabama fans are not happy.
What if you run into people are wearing orange and blue around here, but they're like ready for Broncos games?
No. Broncos are blue and orange. Auburn's orange and blue.
There is a difference.
That's the difference.
There is a difference too. Well, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to. I got to figure if I go on the roof, then somebody else has got to run this thing for 2 hours.
Get Tannery.
Well, somebody got to run this thing for
right,
2 hours.
Not run it into the ground. Just run it.
This isn't pick random things
this
that are never going to happen. It's
not,
yeah, it's not terrible take Tanner. Although it is. What did he have today? Did he have any good takes for us on NoCo Now?
I think he said something. I have to go back and listen. He said something today.
I need a
tally board or something back here and just write it down every show.
Oh, you absolutely need to just write his takes down. Let's read. We got a Dixon sighting. It's been a little bit. Dixon, the arch nemesis of the show. He is the arch nemesis of the show. Even after I say nice things about the Chiefs, he just lights into me. Vaughn has done very little for $20 million that Peyton decided to spend on him. Turned out to be a bad call and is now paying him to play for somebody else. Sutton and Patrick and Jags have fun with that. Easy to find wide receiver after you get a quarterback. That is what's interesting. Because I have to take my like local hat off here. The fact that I like Sutton and likes Patrick. But 2 weeks ago, what did I say? I went through the contracts and I said, there's nobody on this roster that I can't live without that we're going to be free agents. Save for Kareem Jackson. And I kind of said loosely Tim Patrick's kind of in there, but I don't know if he's live without category. Kareem Jackson, to me, I can't live without. I need two great safeties, and they got him. I tossed Melvin Gordon in there because I like the duo. But I got to tell you, I am kind of intrigued by this. I didn't understand. I was very shocked. I saw the tweet yesterday. Broncos tweeted it out first. Just had a picture of Sutton doing the money thing with his fingers. And I'm like, they didn't, did they? They really re-signed him and Patrick? And I'm thinking, you got Judy. You got KJ coming back next year. Who's throwing him the ball? How are you going to afford that? So, you know, I am of the mindset. I kind of agree with Dixon. I don't know if you mean this in the way I'm meaning it, but you're saying it's easy to find a wide receiver after you get a quarterback. I think it's easy to make a wide receiver after you get a quarterback. How many great receivers came from great quarterbacks?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. I think it's different for every team. I was listening to our friends in Denver this morning, and they were talking about how it's, well, sometimes you just need the quarterback, or sometimes you need the whole offense built first. And it can go either way, and I think the Broncos right now, I think their offense on paper is good enough to where if you put a above-average quarterback like Russell Wilson or Rodgers in there, they can make the team better.
Yeah, and that's the tough part about saying, hey, we're going to just grab all these. Would you say, and I know Jerry Jeudy, but let's just call it what it is. Are they all four of those guys? Jeudy, Hamler, Sutton, Patrick, are they A receivers?
No.
They're B at best. And so you got 4B, maybe.
I feel like they're unproven, and you would like to have a quarterback in there that could get people the ball. Like, Jerry Jeudy coming out of Alabama was electric, and you haven't really seen that from him in the NFL.
No, it kind of hurt last year, hurt the beginning of this season, too. You're seeing signs of it and flashes of it, but none of those guys I would look at and say these are elite wide receivers. I thought Sutton was on his way to being one of those guys. Injury kind of derailed him. Ken Bone saying, now that his team season is over, Tanner can spend his free time working on being better at fantasy football. I don't think it's going to help, to be real honest with you. I've seen him play fantasy football. I don't think it's going to help. Rev Chiropractic is where I go. Speaking of help, I needed help on my back, man. Back was killing me. I was hurting. And I went to Rev Chiropractic, started last year around Christmas time. And since then, every day has just gotten a little bit better. Rev Chiropractic, they're in Greeley. They're right by the Home Depot, right off of 35th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. That's Rev Chiropractic. 22 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Are the Nuggets going to be without Nikola Jokic again tonight? And are we just like saying, okay, there's another loss. Going to be back to 500 if the Joker doesn't go tonight? We'll talk about it next.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
You want to go to the only local sports bar in Greeley, Colorado? I mean, when I say the only, that's because it is. It is local. They get the games that you want to watch. They get the stuff you want to hear in the background. It's also the home of the UNC Bears coaches show, the GOAT Sports Bar. They're located near Center Place of Greeley. They're the newest local sports bar around. They're the only one in the Greeley area. They're the place to be for locals alike throughout northern Colorado, really. I mean, this place is worth traveling a few miles to our Fort Collins friends, Loveland friends. Best place to watch a game. Love the bar. What do you call that bar? Is it a 360 bar? Is that what you call that?
Yep.
And it's the TVs all around there. The bar goes all the way around. Yeah, it's great. But, I mean, it's not a bad spot in the house. High-energy local bar. And proud to be serving the Greeley community. And I'm telling you, what do you like? I mean, I've heard a lot of people say the Wisconsin cheese curds are like top notch. Burgers, wings, they got it. I was giving Scott Patchen crap about Rocky Mountain oysters the other day. They have Rocky Mountain oysters there too. Scott didn't really know what those were.
No,
he said he'd try them. Have you ever tried them?
Oh yeah, they're good.
Yeah. They're good.
Every time I find them on a menu, I'm getting some.
I mean, they're good.
They're weird, but I mean, like,
it's very weird.
If you eat them, you're like, hey, they're good.
For me, it was never weird because I grew up on a farm, you know, and it was like we had, that's what.
Well, you always got to let someone just,
that's what we did.
Eat it first and then tell them what it is and see if they still like it.
Yeah. It is strange. Like, if I, it was just normal for me. But then, you know, you tell people
if it
about
didn't
it.
Taste good, it'd be different.
It's
but
good.
It tastes good with some cocktail sauce.
Oh my gosh. Ridiculous. And we got to try them at the goat. I haven't tried them at the goat yet. But I saw a picture of them over the weekend because I didn't know that they served them yet. So check them out. The goat has everything, man. This is where to go watch the games. They'll probably be playing the game, I'm guessing, over some of the last. I don't know if they do that for the radio side, but we got UNC Bears in action tonight, too. Pretty important game for UNC. San Jose State, Mountain West team. For a good chance for the Bears to see if they can pop back up over that 500 mark. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We got Mike Brohard coming up with CSURams.com. More on that astonishing game last night for Colorado State. We'll see if we can catch up with Mike on the other side. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Thirty-five minutes after 1 o'clock. Don't forget we have college basketball on the airwaves tonight. Join Jerry Schimmel on the call as the UNC Bears get set to take on San Jose State. See if the Bears can jump over that 500 mark. And then later on this week, on Saturday, we'll see UNC and CSU. I love that matchup. For me, it's like kill two birds with one stone. Two of the local teams that we follow. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Boy, CSU, as we've been talking about, something else. Mike Brohard joining us now from CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, never a doubt, right? Even when this team was down 20 with 17 minutes left, never a doubt that the Rams were going to come back and win this thing.
Oh, absolutely not. I thought they had them right where they wanted them.
It's crazy. How crazy is that, though, to do this at St. Thomas in this tournament? You've played so many games in the span of like 6 days, and yet you find a way to dig deep in the second half of a basketball game where you're down, and not only you win, you end up winning by 10 points.
The interesting thing was to me was the defensive pressure that they turned up. So they looked sluggish. They looked a little bit slow defensively. But obviously that's what they had to have in the second half if you're going to come back. You can play great offensively, but if you don't improve defensively, you're not going to get stops. It's not going to change the scoreboard. So that's exactly what they did. They came out and played with great defensive intensity in the second half, and that's really what kind of sparked the comeback. And that's what you really want to see. You know this team can play offense. You want to see them continue to get better defensively as this year moves along.
Yeah, when they did decide to turn it on, though, that defensive side, that pressure, I mean, it was one of those things, man, where you just saw this aggressive style of defense. But on the offensive side, things just slowed down. They kept playing within themselves. They got that two-man game going with Stevens and Roddy. And again, you got to be impressed with the depth of this team, too. You have your big guys getting points, your big stars getting points. But, I mean, pretty much everybody's involved in this one last night.
Yeah, but everybody had to be involved defensively, and when you start that way, then you can also get the transition game going. You know, you saw, you know, Stevens, I remember the one time, you know, it was a rebound by Tanjay, quickly hands off to Stevens who fired it up court. Roddy gets an easy bucket. Those are the things CSU wants to do, but you can't do that if you're pulling the ball out of the bottom of the hoop. You know, you've got to go ahead and get stops. You've got to get rebounds and steals in order to run. And that's what CSU did so much better defensively in the second half.
David Roddy's had some great games. Obviously, MVP of this tournament, no doubt about it. Well deserving. And I want to talk about him in a moment. But Isaiah Stevens, I think the ability to not turn the ball over when you have the ball in your hands all the time is something we cannot overlook.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think it's this. I mean, you look at it and you think David Roddy's the best player on that team, and that's fine. I don't think it'd be a fun argument to have, but I think you'd also argue that Stevens might be the most important player on that team because he keeps everybody calm. He keeps the offense clicking. He keeps them low turnover. And you really don't have somebody like him on the bench that can go ahead and direct that offense the way he does and keep people calmed down when things aren't going well on the floor with whatever it is. It could be, you know, a couple defensive, you know, possessions where they're just not playing well. He's the one that can get them calmed down. So I think he's really important in that regard too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's so many guys. There's the role players. There's the special players. And the Rams have a little bit of everything there. I liked the post game in the locker room, seeing that, Mike, Coach. I always love seeing that with this Rams basketball team. You just feel it, whether you're watching it, whatever. You feel that this team truly loves their coach. Medved's going down the roster saying, hey, this guy did that. This guy did that, all off the top of his head. You just know this team, they're ready to go to battle for this coach, no matter what this entire coaching staff.
Well, yeah, and that's what he instills. I mean, Team Together has been his motto for about 2-3 years now, and they do. They do this as a team. They do everything together as a team. Everybody's role is important, even if it's just, as you know, in practice, if it's as a scout team player, given the starters good looks. I mean, everybody feels a part of that program, and that is a culture that he's created. It's like a family, and it's. I talked to Thistlewood and Kendall Moore about this. You know, they were his first recruits. That's what attracted them, is that was part of his message to them, is we're going to build a family, we're going to do this. And they said that's all they've ever seen out of this program, and they've helped really kind of foster that as things have moved along.
We're talking to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, you've seen a lot of great players over the years on the basketball side, and a lot of players that have gone on to play basketball professionally. I don't think there's many doubting that Roddy is the kind of guy that can get paid to play basketball. When you look at him, do you see an NBA talent? And I know we're six games into this season, but it does seem like he's cranked it up a notch or two.
Well, I think he's on his path there to get serious consideration to do that. I don't know if his height and body style combined, you look at him and go, he's definitely this or he's definitely that on an NBA court. But then again, you got a lot of players in the NBA that don't fit a mold that play well. So I think he's definitely on that path. And he's a kid that just does nothing but try to improve all the time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and you're seeing it, too. I mean, what I like, too, is he's efficient. I mean, 10 of 13, it's not like he's just throwing it all over the place. He's getting to the free throw line as well, 6 of 7. And just important situations in this game for him. And again, as you mentioned, everything really needs to flow when you're getting ready to make a comeback like that. And what a time to do it and go ahead and win the Paradise Jam Championship. Now this team, well, we'll get set for a local matchup. UNC making the long journey all the way over to Fort Collins on Saturday.
Yeah, a whole half hour drive. Yeah. No, it'll be an interesting game, and hopefully there will be a crowd there even over the holiday weekend. There won't be students probably from either school unless they're really close by, but it should still be a fun game in that regard. I mean, last night's win for CSU was important in the way it happened, them having to come back. It gives them some confidence. I think they already knew that they could do that. But to actually do it and not think you can do it is a big step.
When do you start looking at – and I know we're all saying this team's for real. We're all saying, hey, we're going to be disappointed if this team doesn't go dancing. But, I mean, Mike, 6-0, and even when they're struggling and they're looking like they're not going to have a good game, they somehow pull it out, and we're looking at an amazing second half. How far do you think this team can go? I mean, when do you start looking at it saying, this is not only a top 25 team, this might be a team well beyond top 25?
I think that's the case, and I think a lot of people are going to get excited about these things. It's a long season. You got to make sure that everybody stays healthy and all that good stuff, but we'll see. But they definitely have the potential to make some noise in November.
Yeah. Mike, what do you got going for us, man, that we can check out at CSURams.com?
Well, I'll have a couple stories this week, but I got to get going here pretty soon. Football practice just ended. I got to do some interviews.
All right, my man. We'll let you go. Keep grinding. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. You could hear it in the background, right? You could hear people crowding around Mr. Brohard as they're getting set, getting done with practice there. But, we didn't even get a chance to talk about – maybe that's a good thing. Didn't get a chance to talk about CSU football. I mean, it's like night and day difference.
Don't bring this down, Brady.
Ah, right? Night and day difference with the programs. You know what's crazy about this? This is probably before your time around the area, but – I don't know how much you paid attention to CSU beforehand, but it's kind of the opposite effect. I mean, it was Larry Eustace as the head coach for the Rams, and they were good for a while with him. And then it started to get to the point where they weren't so good, and then all the arguments coming out, the cases coming out, that he wasn't such a nice dude. And we won't get into too much of it, but ultimately they were in a tough spot. The basketball program was a dumpster fire, and I think that was still Bobo, right? And Bobo, it wasn't great nor bad. It was just kind of like, it's not a major concern. They're winning seven games. They're getting to bowl games. That basketball program was a dumpster fire. And then it transitions. It was a really tough time for CSU, for Joe Parker, for everybody. And then they make that hire with Nico Medved, and he wins, 11 or 12 games in his first year. And then the year after that, they win 20. And then of course, last year, the COVID year, pretty darn successful. So, yeah, it's completely flipped. The switch is flipped here. And I'm not saying Adazio is in the Eustace territory at all. I'm just saying that as far as programs being in the quote-unquote dumpster fire, it feels like it right now for this football team. Now, they got one more game going up against Nevada, and we'll see. I I'm not doing my picks yet. I went 4-0 over the weekend, Angel. I don't know if you
that's new
popped over the 500 mark. So that's it. This weekend is huge because you said I need to be 6 games over 500.
Yep.
I won't achieve that goal this weekend, but I still got Broncos to pick, and then I have a couple of bowl games. I'll have Air Force in a bowl game, so I'll be able to pick that, and then Broncos for the rest of the season. So the plan is here because I'm 24-23. So if I go 4-0 this weekend, you know, you're sitting at 28-23, plus I got Broncos games to call throughout. So there's a darn good chance I can get over that precious six over 500 mark.
You had the Thursday night special too, right?
Yeah, we don't really count that toward the local stuff, but we are, two in a row.
There you go.
Two in a row, feeling good about that. So, I got 3 Thursday night specials. Woo! This week.
Because we got Turkey Day football.
We got some epic football.
Get to watch the Lions.
Oh, dude, look at this. Look at this. Look at this card, if you will, for Thursday. Let's see. Bears and Lions.
Tradition.
Yeah, but still 3-7, 0-9. Raiders, Cowboys. I mean, the Raiders are 5-5. This is...
It's a nice game to have on while you're eating.
Yeah, it's not really a must-win for the Raiders yet, but it's getting close if they want to make the playoffs. Bills Saints.
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Sims. The better he does, the better my argument comes for giving Drew Locke more time. See what I mean? There's always a way to find your place back to your original arguments.
Do you want Siemian back now? Is he the guy?
No, he's not the guy. But the case is, you give him time. 6 years later, he could have been your guy.
No, we'll never know.
Sometimes it is. And what about this Taysom Hill agreement? Did you see that?
I did. That's very interesting.
So it, like, I don't know what I don't have the deal in front of me, but it, like, fluctuates depending on how much he plays at quarterback and how much he plays at, flex position or whatever.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So if he has, 10 snaps at quarterback, 15 snaps at receiver, you'll get the appropriate amount for each.
That's bizarre. Is that the first of its kind?
I saw it was like the first hybrid contract, and I think that could be something you see in the future.
Oh,
we talk about all these athletes in high school play DB and wide receiver.
Look what Carolina did. Now, not last week. I love how Cam Newton says it's all about the team, but did you see his intro?
That was pretty cool.
It was cool, but it's like, it's all about the team.
It's better than that CGI panther they have running around.
That thing's freaky, man. That thing will get you. But no, what you saw 2 weeks ago with Carolina is using two quarterbacks. You see it with the Saints. Do you think we're going to start seeing more NFL teams? And which I don't like, but maybe you get a team that thinks they don't have their franchise guy, so we're going to mix and match. You know, if we can run on this team, Taysom Hill. If we're going to pass on this team, Winston or Trevor Siemian.
It'd be interesting. You'd like to see some unique styles in the NFL. You know, you have your trick plays, your wildcat stuff. The Saints, you obviously have the two quarterbacks. I think there's a lot you can do with it.
Part of me, I used to give Josh McDaniels crap for this because he had Kyle Orton, and then he drafted Tim Tebow. And you're thinking, if Orton goes down, you're completely different offense. But I'm guessing in the back of his mind, there was part of him that was thinking, we might use Tebow in some of these instances where if it's a team we think we can run on with a quarterback, I think it's more likely now. Because what are we seeing now in the NFL? Faster defenses, not necessarily bigger defenses. So you're working to try to outrun these guys, and that's where Taysom Hill comes in. 48 minutes after the hour, we got to take a break. Wrap up. What's on the tube tonight? What's interesting to you? What's on the radio? We'll look at it when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. For over 51 years now, OCR has been the specialist in the medicine of motion. With 6 medical campuses and providing care along the Front Range, OCR is proud to be Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. Now, there was a time when I didn't need chiropractic care, and it's working for me at Rev Chiropractic. But I jacked up my shoulder. People are like, "What do you do, man? Are you like spelunking? Am I Batman? Am I in my personal time? Yeah, I try to protect the town of Timnath. I run around from skyscraper to skyscraper protecting Timnath, my city. I jacked up my shoulder really bad. Like, it was for weeks, for months. I couldn't lift. I couldn't do anything. And I went there, and they got me on this therapy plan that I started working on. And it took me about 2 months, and I got my shoulder right. Never had an issue with it again. I love that story. We've talked to some players here. We talked to former Ram Ellison Hubbard, who entered the transfer portal. Great guy. Broke his hand. Worked with OCR, and they got him up to snuff again, ready to rock and roll for his football career. So that's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. If they can help me, they can help Ellis, and they can help you out. Orthohealth.com. What's on tonight, Angel? We know we have the UNC Bears going at it against San Jose State right here on KFK, 7:30, the PDC Energy pregame show, and then 8 o'clock we get things rolling here. Jerry Schimmel going to call that game.
Bears are 4.5 points favorites.
Favorites, huh?
Let's go.
They're 3-3. I need to see Bodie have a good game tonight. Dalen Kuntz has been the best player, and that's fine because I think he could be the best player in the conference. Corjo Cooch has been fantastic. Dalton Connect has been fantastic. He's been kind of a surprise to me, actually. I didn't know he'd be this great early on. But I want Bodie to get out. He had a key rebound the other night. But I want to see Bodie kind of go off here.
Definitely. Also, big shout-out to the Bears that made the Big Sky honorable mention, second, third team. Good job, guys.
What about David Hogue?
He got second team.
Okay, so he got second team.
Should have been first.
Didn't make first. I saw Jerry Schimmel's tweet, man. David Hogue's great, dude. We've had him on the show. He was, like, the first week or two, he was the Big Sky Conference Player of the Week, man. I mean, he was great. Hats off to David Hogue. All right, that's going to do it for us. We got a brand new show coming up at 2 o'clock. You heard it right. You guys remember Mike Pritchard? You guys remember the CU Buffs MVP of the team in 1990 in the national championship year? Betting Across America begins at 2 o'clock. Do not miss that program. We're actually going to have Mike on our show tomorrow. And then, of course, the Good Afternoon Guy. And later, we got UNC Hoops. Don't go away. Good night, Northern Colorado.